I ended up landing a Snapchat show out of thin air. Like, this guy who followed me, like, ran an agency who ran Snapchat shows. And I basically just hosted, like, this TMZ-style bullshit Snapchat show where I'd, like, report, like, trendy celebrity shit going on. It was, like, a four-minute show. Took me maybe an hour a week to do. And that's where, like, my main source of income came from. Like, I made six figures just off of Snapchat. And I was doing brand deals. So 2022, I went from, like, broke as fuck to making, like, a lot of money. But then spending stupid, and now I'm like, okay, like I learned, you kind of have to like get money to, I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but you kind of have to like get money to like learn how to spend it. Cause I never had money my whole life. So I went out, I bought the scat pack. I'm like going nuts. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, guys, I have to pay taxes. I forgot about that. So how do you produce it from here? Are you switching angles on this thing? Is it automatically doing it?
So it's all... We can just like start it too if you want. Like, honestly, like I kind of like this, like, you know, talking a little bit about what we're, you know, our operation.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we have, we just record everything like raw, and then I'll like hop in editing, and I have like some like AI softwares, nothing crazy, but that just like help do the editing.
Yeah, even like the Opus fucking software I was telling you. Do you use that for clips at all, or have you tried it?
I have tried it.
It's not bad. It's okay. It has some work to do, but
yeah, I use it more for like finding clips, and then I'll find like it'll show me like 19 minutes and 22 seconds is a really good clip. I like that. I like what they did, and then boom, I'll just do it myself.
You can do like keywords and shit too. Yeah. Like if you know you're talking about something, you can like type in the word and it just pops up. So that script too, it just simplifies shit, bro. Nowadays with social media, like especially, that's why I asked, because Justin, my producer, he literally like has a thing that you can manually switch angles during the pod, which makes it a little harder, but he's not talking, so he can like focus on that. Because after they're like cutting, like raw, like cutting everything together, is that must take some time. But if you have a software that helps you, then it must not be too time consuming.
Yeah, so like right when we started, we have that like machine. We have the little like the board.
Yeah, the
that,
little,
like, you click like 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever. And like we could do that. But the AI, like I have an AI editor called Autopod. Shout out Autopod. Like
Autopod?
Fucking goats.
Damn.
$30 a month. It like syncs right into Premiere Pro. And you just tell it like which camera angle is associated with what mic or like what audio channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just knows when this mic is active, when this mic is like peaking.
It goes to
that camera.
Damn. That's fucking, dude, isn't it crazy?
And it takes like 15 minutes to edit the full episode for you. It's easy. It's so
easy. Isn't it wild like what AI and fucking computers can do now? Like, crazy. There's going to be self-driving cars and shit now. Like, that shit's fucked up. That shit scares me.
I don't think I trust a self-driving car.
Me either.
I can't get behind it right now.
I don't trust that.
Didn't Terrence, like, go in one of them?
He did, yeah.
Harry's brother. You know Harry Pigeon Vision?
Yeah, yeah.
He made
one of my logos. Is it this hat? No, not this hat. One of my other logos. But it's funny. So, I know him because my girlfriend's from Hingham. He grew up in Hingham. So, they kind of knew each other. And then I forget how we met each other. But he ended up doing like graphic design shit for me. And then, dude, like we kind of stopped working together. And then like 6 months later, like he's doing the whole fucking
pigeon
shit. Have you had him on here yet or no?
Yeah, we did.
He's one of our good friends.
When we were like starting up, probably like a year ago.
Yeah, that kid's a ball of energy, bro. But he's consistent as fuck, dude. So he's blowing up, but he's going to blow up even more. He's doing good.
Totally.
He'll do whatever it takes to, you know, make it work. It's like,
what
really
did he
crazy
do recently? He hustled those solar glasses and shit. Yeah. Like, he's just like a hustler. Like, I feel like he just knows how to make money, you know?
Gets his nickel up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but no, he's a good kid. It's funny, though, when you're around him, like, he's just a ball of energy. Like, it feeds off everyone in the room, you know?
Everything on screen that he does, it's not an act either. He's exactly like that in person.
No, I know. Exactly. I met him a few times. The sweaty fucking...
Sweaty ghost, yeah.
Sweaty ghost. I don't know if he's done that in a little while.
Yeah. He was doing that for a little bit, and it was, like, starting to blow up.
But even, like, everybody's always like, oh, he's on something. He's not. He's never done anything.
Yeah, they probably think he's on, like, blow and shit.
Yeah,
it's
never
like,
done
no,
that.
Man, it's just, they're all, it's just crazy. There's, like, people that are just wired like that. Like, I'm not like that at all. I kind of wish in some cases I was because I get lazy sometimes. But, like, dude, like, there's some people that are just, like, wired 24/7. I was never like that.
Yeah, I mean, I totally, like, relate to. I feel like anyone that's, like, does their own thing and, like, we can kind of parlay this into, like, talking about your journey and your story and the business and the, you know, just social page and following that you have. But like it comes and goes, like the motivation comes and goes. It's like, you know, you need that like driving force below like motivation, like something like more consistent than that.
Yeah.
Like really like continue like and be consistent with everything.
That goes into everything though. Like not even just social media. Like I said this recently actually in a video, because I'm doing like the whole weight loss thing right now. We could talk more about it, but like motivation is always going to go no matter what, like weight loss or fucking work or whatever it is. But like, I think you have to have like something bigger than that. Like you got to build the discipline, obviously, but for the social media stuff, like I'm truly like passionate about that. And like for my health, like obviously, like, you know, I want my health to be better so I can live a long life, have a family and all that. But it's also like when you start having like those little wins, like waking up a little early, go to the gym, start your day, get, you know, have a successful day, like wins after that, like win after win, you start to build that kind of like, you know what I mean, confidence and discipline. And then eventually it's like you're locked in. So, I mean, that's what I've learned so far.
Yeah, those are like almost like a dopamine like hit just internally, you know, which is like helps you. Like it's kind of like the inverse like psychology, but like
because that was my whole thing too, is like, but so the dopamine, it just made me think of it like that was like food, like eating late was like always my, that's kind of how I gained a bunch of weight, is like I found Uber Eats. And then I grew up in an Italian household, so like there was always food in front of me my whole life, so I was always like a bigger kid my whole life, but I played hockey my whole life, so it kind of like offset a little bit. And then I got like wicked into fitness my senior year of high school, lost a shit ton of weight. I went from like 240 to like 190 in like 6 months. And then I went into college, dialed into fitness, and I ended up playing like a semester and a half of college hockey at UMass Boston. That was when I was like in my best shape. I was like 205 lean, and then COVID hit. And then when COVID hit, I met my ex, and like that's when I discovered like DoorDash and Uber Eats and all that shit. So that's when like those inner demons came out, and kind of got lazy, and you know, slowly over time just put on a ton of weight. But you know, I feel good now, you know, starting to get into a rhythm, and actually parlaying the health stuff with the content makes it so much easier, because like I enjoy doing the content stuff, so it makes it, you know what I mean, kind of like the same synergy.
Yeah, you said like little wins add up, and mm-hmm. I think like almost like the opposite is true too. And like, yeah, you know, when you're not on your game, that adds up too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because the last two nights, I went to the Bruins, then I went to the Celtics. Yeah. So I'm kind of in shambles right now. You know, I haven't been going to the gym. I haven't been staying
a little rattled.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, I know.
It's nothing worse than waking up a little rattled. Like, fuck, what's going on?
I'm like, oh, I got to yap with Tommy for an hour today. Yeah. But, so like, I guess my question is, you know, when you're not on your game, and yeah, like, you know, you don't have a boss right now, you know, nobody mm-hmm. really looking over your shoulder telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, you know, get out of that funk and, you know, refine motivation?
Yeah, you know, bro, it's something I'm still learning today. Like, I would be lying to you if I said I'm an expert at it, and I'm waking up at fucking 8 a.m. every day dialed in. Like, I have bad days still, even on this weight loss journey. Like, I've been doing it for like since the beginning of the new year, but like I put it on social media about a month ago, and this past month has been great. Like, I think I'm in total, I'm down like, I want to say like 12 pounds in the first month, but like I didn't have great days every day. I fucked up a couple times, but you know, I think the whole like not having a boss thing, like being an entrepreneur, like I look up to like Dana White a lot. I watch like all his podcasts, and he'd be like a dream person to meet. But he talks about it all the time. Like everyone wants to say like they don't want a boss, they want to work for themselves, but like it's like the hardest thing to do, dude. Like you really have to put 24/7 hustle into this. And you know, I'm not like saying that I'm breaking my back doing this shit, but like, because I enjoy it. It doesn't feel like work. I think that's what helps me with it. But at the same time, like not having a boss and having someone to hold you accountable is kind of why I fell into the position, like with my health and stuff like that. Because I feel like when I took this on as a full-time job, the health kind of took a back seat, and I was kind of learning how to balance both. And then, you know, just like I never went to college for like business or anything. So everything I've learned about business, and even just simple as like paying taxes and shit like that, like I learned all on my own from talking to people, and my parents helped me a little bit. But it definitely is a factor doing this full time, is like building that discipline to, you know, be your own boss. And yeah, I don't really have an answer because I'm still learning it. But I think the main thing is, like we were talking about, is just kind of building those small wins. And honestly, talk to people that are smarter than you. Like, because that's where I've learned the most shit, is networking and talking to people that have been successful.
I feel like the deceiving thing about that is, like, you hear all these guys, Dana, everyone, like, that has, like, a entrepreneurship or, like, self-development podcast, right? Which is so popular right now. Everybody says that. But nobody's got it mastered. Like, right. nobody's perfect, and nobody has, like, perfect discipline level.
Yeah.
That, like, and maybe, like, there's one dude out there, like, in fucking, like, Dubai maybe that does.
Or like David Goggins.
Yeah. But, like, even, like, those people, like, have, like, imperfections and, like, have bad days.
100%,
and,
like, yeah. They're all normal people.
Yeah, normalizing that is, like, very important.
Yeah, and, like, you got to think, like, someone like Dana White, who's, what, mid-50s, like, he's been doing this shit for how long? You know, 40 years, so... And even him, like, he still makes his mistakes. But, yeah, it's hard to say you're going to perfect it. I think the main thing is just, you know, giving yourself the right tools to succeed, which is like, you know, waking up a little earlier if you have a fuck up, or that kind of gets into your other question. Like, if I do have a fuck up day, or if I have like a, you know, if I miss a workout, or if I eat a shitty meal a couple days in a row, like, how do I bounce back? It's really just like, I think you have to get to a point. I feel like I kind of hit like rock bottom in a way when I started this whole weight loss thing. So I think I just kind of think back to like the moment where I'm like, okay, well, I could eat this fucking McDonald's and have this dopamine hit for, you know, whatever, a half hour while I'm eating it. And then I'm going to deal with like, you know, fucking depression after, you know, the next morning or whatever. So I think just remembering those feelings that, you know, when you do those things, it's going to bring that. That helps me not do it. But I think at the same time, dude, you got to find a proper balance in life. Like, I'm not sitting here saying I'm eating chicken and rice fucking three meals a day. And I'm sure there's hardos on the internet that are like, bro, you should just be eating this or doing this. You'd lose so much weight. And I'm like, dude, with what I do, like, you know, like, we're always out and about networking, going to events. Like, I like to go to Celtics games, you know, have a couple tequila sodas, maybe a fucking, you know, little pretzel or something. I don't know. Like, I want to have that balance in my life, because when I do have like a family and kids one day, like, I don't want to like teach them to like have this restricted ass fucking diet. It's like, you just have to learn how to have that balance. And it's something I'm still, you know, learning, you know?
I think the other thing with this too is like, the specifically right now in the moment, the, you know, grind with Tommy G movement. Mm-hmm. And this can like go into your story and yep. everything is like, it's public. Like, you're not alone anymore, and mm-hmm. you're not just like doing this on your own. You kind of have the yeah. pressure because you told everyone this 100%. Is your goal yeah, and this yeah, is what yeah, you want to yeah. do. And now if you don't, you look like a fucking loser.
100%. Yeah. And you know, it's a weird feeling, bro. Cause like I can get into a little bit about like how I grew up and shit. So like, before I even get into that, I grew up in East Boston, like triple decker. My grandmother bought it in 65 when my dad was born. So my whole family was from Brooklyn, actually. So my grandmother's parents are from Brooklyn. I think they came here and then she was born here. So I'm like third generation in Boston or whatever. So my dad grew up in the same house that I still live in to this day. Cause I still live at home in the same triple decker from 65, and the thing hasn't been renovated at all. Like, when you go inside, like, you're like, this house is from 1965. But it's funny, cause on my street, like, the real estate in Boston's nuts right now. So you see like these brand new fucking condos and shit going up next to our house. And, you know, just like being able to hang on to that is like such a privilege, because, you know, like, she's talked about selling the house many times, but it's like, she feels attached to it. Like, we still live in it and stuff. So it's been cool to kind of like see that perspective of it. But yeah, I just grew up like in the city. I went to all Boston public schools, went to East Boston High School, played hockey my whole life. That was like kind of my main sport. And feel lucky enough, like, I have like my friend group now is still my friend group from when I was like 4 or 5 years old, which is pretty dope. Because I know a lot of kids that I went to college with that kind of just don't really have that like tight knit friend group from back home. But I definitely feel like growing up in the inner city shaped me, like, just because we didn't grow up by like having like any wealthy means or anything like that. Like, we were definitely a lower middle class family. Like, we still went on like, you know, the New Hampshire vacations once a year and shit like that. But, you know, I didn't have anything like given to me really. I had a roof over my head and I still do, which is awesome. But besides that, like, nothing really given. So having that kind of like upbringing helped me a lot to be, you know, more thankful and grateful for other things growing up. But then, yeah, I graduated high school, went to UMass Boston, played like a semester and a half of hockey, which was a dope experience. And then COVID rolled around and downloaded TikTok, and that's kind of how everything started. But yeah, and then, you know, kind of built that up over, I started just messing around on TikTok for a year, just doing like Boston relatable skits and shit like that all by myself. And it was funny. It's funny to reflect on it because like, there was so much like, there was a lot of positivity, but there was a lot more hate. That was like when I got my most hate, was like when I first started. And you know, it's funny to look back on it now because like, it's so much more positivity now, obviously. Cause like, it's natural. Like, when people see someone trying something new, like, they're going to like have their opinions on it. But now that I've built like this platform, it's like everyone, you know, thinks it's cool or whatever.
What were you getting shit on for?
I'm trying to think, dude. It was really, honestly, I've seen like comments and shit, but like, it wasn't even really that. It was more of like people I knew in real life. Like, that was what bothered me, was like people I thought were friends or whatever, and like hearing they were talking shit. Like, I almost lost a few friendships because of it. I did like lose a couple, but you know, they weren't real friends. You know, they weren't like my boys I grew up with. They were like kids I met like after high school and shit. But it was more of just like, you know, like people will be like, oh, this kid's soft for doing social media shit. Like, what is this? And TikTok was still fairly new. It was only like, I mean, a year.
That into generation TikTok. Of TikTok was like fucking.
Yeah, and I wasn't, I wasn't doing none of the fucking dancing. Yeah. I thought that shit was stupid too. Yeah. Like, obviously, if you're gonna make your money. But if you're doing the fucking Bryce Hall dances and shit, whatever. But he'd probably kick my ass. Now he's doing bare knuckle and shit, whatever. anyway. Yeah, I was just getting shit on for, like, you know, this kid soft doing this TikTok shit. And I was just doing, like, little skits by myself. I was doing, like, the hockey bro lingo and shit. Like, just fucking around. And then a year into TikTok, I built up 1 million followers. And I was just kind of doing it for fun. I wasn't really making any money off it. I maybe did, like, a couple. I was getting mad free shit. And then I'm like, oh, I could charge, like, $100 for a video and, like, doing shit like that. And then I think the year mark was my last semester of college. We went back to campus. About a year into TikTok. So it was funny, bro. Like, I'd still remember, like, vividly, like, in this philosophy class I was taking. Like, meanwhile, dude, I'm, like, 4 majors in. I don't know what I want to do. I'm really just in college to keep my parents happy. I'm probably, like, a semester or two behind. And this was, like, my junior year, technically. And I was in a philosophy class. We're learning about, like, fucking Aristotle and fucking Plato and the meaning of life. And I'm, like, getting notifications on my phone. So I'm, like, on my phone. And the professor, this fucking 60-year-old dude, was like, he called me out in front of the whole class. Because, like, in college, you know, like, I don't know, did you guys go to college? Or I don't know. Did you go to college?
Yeah, it depends.
So, like, you know, in college, like, they don't really bust your balls to be on your phone. Like, it's not like high school, you know? Right. So this dude, like, literally called me out in front of, like, 50 people and was like, something, I forget exactly what he said, but, like, something like, oh, is your phone more important than the lesson? I'm kind of like, yeah, kind of. Like, I don't really care about fucking Plato and the meaning of life and shit. But I put my phone away. And after that, dude, I walked out of that class and I'm just like, what am I doing here, dude? Like, I'm spending money that I don't have. I'm taking out loans for, like, college that I'm failing my classes. I'm like, what am I doing? So I went home. I had a conversation with my parents and, like, dude, they were pretty supportive. They were skeptical. I still don't understand how I make money. I don't think that generation's ever going to really understand, you know? But once I showed them, like, some of the money I had coming in, they were like, yeah, let's just, you know, drop out, give it a shot. School's not going anywhere. So January 2022, I dropped out of school. And it was just funny, bro, because I'm like, going to college, I'm going to UMass Boston in Dorchester, and I'm walking to class, and, like, I'm getting noticed. Like, people are taking pics of me in college, and I'm just like, what am I really doing here? Not that I, like, think I'm, like, all that. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say, but it's like, I felt like I had something bigger to do than just fucking sit in a philosophy class, you know? Like, obviously, I was impacting people in some way. So I took that leap, and, dude, I was kind of prepared. Not really, though. Like, I kind of just took that leap, and I maybe had, like, a few thousand in my account, and I'm like, and I just kind of winged it, to be honest. And I ended up meeting my buddy Nick Woodruff. He's, like, another successful kid with business. He built, like, one of the biggest soccer training companies in the New England area. But anyway, he reached out to me because he wanted to be involved in the social media space. He helped me kind of, like, get my foot in the door at brand deals and open up an LLC and all that. And then I ended up fucking, I ended up landing a Snapchat show out of thin air. Like, this guy who followed me, like, ran an agency who ran Snapchat shows. And I basically just hosted, like, this TMZ style bullshit Snapchat show where I'd, like, report, like, trendy celebrity shit going on. It was, like, a 4-minute show. Took me maybe an hour a week to do. And that's where, like, my main source of income came from. Like, I made 6 figures just off of Snapchat. And I was doing brand deals. So 2022, I went from, like, broke as fuck to making, like, a lot of money, but then spending stupid. And now I'm like, okay. Like, I learned, you kind of have to, like, get money to, I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but you kind of have to, like, get money to, like, learn how to spend it. Cause I never had money in my whole life. So I went out, I bought the scat pack. I'm, like, going nuts. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, guys, I have to pay taxes. I forgot about that.
No, that's, like, very real when it's like, when you finally work for yourself and you get that, like, first little bag and you just, like, blow it all. And then you're like, shit, taxes, like, insurance, like, all these things that, like, you just, like, forget about.
Dude, I literally went from nothing. Obviously, like, little brand deals, like, I was making, like, 500, 1,000, maybe 1,500 on a video. But then I went from that to, like, I still remember I went to the gate. Do you know Jared Carabas?
Yeah, of course.
So he's a friend of mine. So he brought me to the Red Sox game, and I was leaving the game, and it was like, basically, you do the Snapchat for the month which was 4 episodes, and they give you the payout the next month. So I remember I got the email, and the first payout was like $12,000, and I'm like, holy fuck, what the fuck? Because I didn't really put any work into it. It was like really half-assed.
And then, it was also kind of like what you had been doing before.
Yeah, it was easy. It was very easy. But then after that, I'm like, the next month was like 17. Then it was like 25. And I'm like, dude, I just made like $60,000 in 3 months, like doing half-assed shit, you know? But like, then eventually the show phased out, and like they changed the algorithm. Now you see Snapchat's more like creator focused. Like you see they're pushing like the creator stories and shit like that and whatever. So I ended up losing the show, which sucked because that was a huge income stream I lost. But I mean, the last year, 2023, I still did great on brand deals, merch, that kind of shit. So right now, you know, we're building up our media company. So that's kind of the next big play to like kind of have that long term passive income eventually.
It's funny you said like when you like dropped out of college, like, your mom and like your parents were like confused.
Yeah.
Like one of my good friends, a lot of my friends like on Twitter and stuff, like that money Twitter space, like business Twitter. And
I know
my boy Sanjay tweeted, he goes, if your mom knows what you're doing, like you definitely, or if your mom knows what you're doing and knows how you make money, you're definitely doing something wrong.
You're doing something right. That's actually a great point. I never heard it that way.
Yeah.
I never heard it that way. Yeah. Cause like, dude, that older generation, and like, there's nothing wrong. I always say this whenever I talk about it. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with working for the union. There's nothing wrong working a blue collar job, doing any of that. But I just know 99% of you are not passionate about that. And that shit's not going anywhere. So I'm like, I might as well just try to chase what I want to do, you know, like at least for a while before I commit to something like that. But again, there's nothing wrong with that to provide. If you have to provide for your family, like if I had a kid on the way, like, I mean, I don't know if I'd join the union. I'm doing okay right now. But like if it ever got to that point, like, yeah, you have to do what you have to do. But, you know, I just feel like a lot of people, especially growing up in Boston, it was always instilled like you go to college or you go to the union. That was really the only two paths, at least for me. So like whenever, like, I think the reason I got kind of like hate too is because not a lot of people in the inner city, like where I grew up, like really was on social media doing that shit. So when they kind of saw me doing something a little bit different, it was just like easy ammo for them to use, you know?
I feel like Boston in general too, it's not even like, it's no matter where you are in Boston, like content and like,
yeah,
this new space is
still
like
new, dude. Unpopular. I swear, it's still like there's a lot of creators now in Boston and Massachusetts, New England, but like it's still no like LA or anything like that. It's still not as like accepted, I feel like. And I feel like a lot of companies are starting to come around here to like understand, like, okay, you need, I think a lot of businesses nowadays are starting to come around. You still have like the few that still don't get it and still don't think they need it, but I like, dude, like the whole world's going that way. So that's like the worst thing about, I was talking to Mako on my podcast about this, like, what's the worst thing about being a creator? I'm like, one of the worst is like when you're trying to like pitch yourself to a company and like they have like an older fucking like 65-year-old fucking old white guy who like doesn't get social media and is like, oh, well, what's the ROI and what's this? And it's like, dude, like you can ask me that, like that's fine. But it's like, dude, like, it's the exposure. It's the platform I've built the last 3 years. It's like, if you want to hit the Boston market, like you should work with me. Like, you know, like in the most unselfish way, like that's just what it is. And I show them the analytics, everything. And then it's like, you negotiate with these people for like 2-3 weeks. And it's like, all right, we're going to go our separate ways. Like that's the most annoying shit, dude, is like dealing with that kind of bullshit.
The reason it's so successful is I talked to my dad about this is like, you know, you can put a billboard on the side of the highway and cars drive by and a couple cars, you know, might notice it and it might be your target, you know, your target audience. Yeah. But you know, with you, you've captured, you know, millions of kids, you know, probably like-minded, they like the Red Sox, they like the Patriots, they like drinking beers,
blue collar like, sports fans, that's exactly. Like the way I describe my demographic.
So like that million followers is more like, you know, 10 million people driving past a billboard.
100%. Like that's like, it's like, yeah, well, go take out a fucking newspaper ad and see how that does for you, like, you know, like I just think people buy personality. And like yeah, and I do agree that there's a lot of creators out there that have kind of like, I don't want to call it a fake following, but like it's not like a community, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like myself, like Prosciutto Papi, Mock, like we've all built our shit to be like something that our followers like trust us in a way. And like, they really like fuck with us, you know? So I think that's like where you're going to find more conversions with companies. It's like when you're working with creators that have that, like you can go pay fucking Joe Schmo with fucking whatever, 100K like bullshit followers, like, you know, $500 to do a video, but it's like you're gonna get that bullshit in return too. Like,
especially in Boston too, like that you've really established your audience, like you were saying, blue collar Boston sports fans, right? Like, have you experienced like going to New York or a different city or like traveling for a brand trip or something like that and like not being like being feeling a little bit out of place? Or is it like, have you also noticed it growing in other areas too?
Oh no, it definitely has grown everywhere, but it's not like it is in Boston. I wouldn't say, like, we were just in New York. We get recognized in New York. Prosciutto was just in Tampa. He was getting recognized for the deli there. We haven't been to the West Coast yet, but I'm sure there as well. So I don't think it's the fact that like, it's definitely grown to those places, but it's like when I'm walking around in Boston, like I definitely feel more eyeballs on me and like get noticed a lot more than like a New York or like a Florida or probably an LA or something like that.
At this point, like everybody in Boston that's on social media probably has. Like,
which is pretty crazy. And I was thinking about this before the pod, cause I'm like, I didn't know if you guys were going to ask about like getting recognized and shit like that. Cause the crazy thing is I grew up and I still am like a very introverted person. Like, I'm like extroverted, but I'm introverted too. It's weird. But I was always like a shy kid my whole life and like very, very humble. And like, I would hate if anyone thought I was like coming off cocky, because I hated that. So when people ask me like, oh, do you get recognized? It's like, I would always like answer like, yeah, like here and there. But it's like, dude, like when I say like it's everywhere, bro, and this is in the least cocky way. Like, it's not cocky at all, but it's like, I can go to the grocery store. I can go to the fucking gym. I can go to fucking, go to a gas station in Marlboro. Like, it's like literally everywhere in Massachusetts. It's like we get recognized. I was going to the movies with my girlfriend recently, and I walked in and it was just like a pack of high schoolers in there. And I'm like, watch, like they're going to notice me. And she was like, yeah, okay. And then I walked in and I walked in with my hood on, because I'm like, I just wanted to chill and go to the movies. And I was waiting in line for popcorn or whatever. And one of the kid kind of gives me a weird look, and Mako said it in a good way. He was like, it's like spidey senses in a way. You kind of feel the eyeballs, and then you see the first look, and then you see the second, and it's like from 5 minutes before I know when they're going to come up, and like the whole group ended up coming up or whatever. And everyone's always mad cool, and it's not like, I'm not trying to make this sound like I don't like it, because I do like it. It's fucking great. But at the same time, it is kind of crazy that it's like, I'm just trying to go to the movies and chill. And it's like, people are fucking, you know what I mean? Kind of noticing.
Menery's really good at that.
With what?
Like everybody recognizes him, obviously. Yeah. And he always, he knows the demographic that he's in. It's the high school boys, the college kids, like whatever. And he always gets the eyes and he's like, oh, what's up, guys?
I do that sometimes. I'm like, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, it's funny. But you know what's crazy, though, is like, it's like blue collar sports fans for sure, the majority, I would say. But like, dude, I get like all aspect. Like, I get like fucking 11, 12 year olds, and I get like 60 year olds. Like, it's really a full spectrum of people, which is like kind of the cool part about it. Cause I think it's dope to have like a targeted demo, you know? Like, I'm sure the Nelk boys know their fucking demo is like whatever, fucking 15 to whatever, 25, 30 now. But like, it's cool to have that, cause you can target that completely. But I think it's also cool to have the spectrum as well. Cause, although if I'm trying to like launch a product or something, like, I don't know really where to cater to completely, but it's cool because everyone of all walks of life, like, see our stuff and somewhat resonate with it, you know? So I think that's been a cool part of it too, is like meeting a lot of people and shit. Cause I do love, and I don't want that last part to come off like I'm coming off like I don't like it. Cause I do like it. It's just interesting, cause I was such an introverted and shy kid to now like have this kind of like scope on me, you know, which is kind of nuts.
What are some of your favorite moments, like, you know, whether it was like a brand thing or like something that being a content creator and building your following has unlocked and like allowed you to do, given you access to something, or you know, maybe like a childhood thing that like you would have never like imagined?
Yeah, dude, I mean, honestly, number one is just the people we've been able to meet, obviously. Like, Wahlberg is probably top three dopest moment for sure, because, you know, I grew up, obviously all of us grew up watching his shit, and especially him being from the inner city. Like, there's not too many people like from the inner city that made it out to that level, you know? Like, obviously you got like the Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. I'm not sure where exactly they're from, but I feel like it's not that like they don't come back to Boston. Like, Ben's doing the whole Duncan thing and shit, which is dope. But like, Mark is from Dorchester, and it's like, I probably sound like a hardo talking about like, oh, he's from the inner city, but it's just like different. I don't know what it is. Like, Boston public schools, like growing up in East Boston, like having someone else from like literally the inner city make it out to an A-list level, like, that's someone I've looked up to my whole life. So to meet him was like number one on the bucket list. So we met him recently, which was cool. And like, he followed us and we honestly talk a lot, which is pretty cool.
He's been pretty supportive just like overall, right? Just
Dude, he's been fucking great. I mean, so the way we met Mock was Moxie's had a little private party with him, like for his tequila, Fletcher Azul. And they invited a ton of creators around here to the event. And it was like a week before they opened up officially. So Mock, we ended up, we got invited. And like, typically, like, we go to these kind of events, but like, I don't know. There was something that day that we were both like, I'm like, I don't really want to go out tonight. Like, we had a busy day. I'm like, I don't know. Should we even go? Like, is Mock even going to be there? Like, are we going to, whatever. So it just didn't feel worth it. But, you know, something made us go. And we went and we walked in and it's like, we were a little late. So it was already fucking slam packed in there. We walk in, Mock's doing a ton of media. So I'm like, all right, let's just go to the bar and get a drink. I'm like, I'm not going to like, I was never the type of person, like for me, just because like I said, I was kind of a shy kid. I never like walked up to a celebrity or something. I was like, oh, I know you from this. Or if I saw an athlete or something, that was just never me. So with Mock, when I saw Mock, like I would have loved to meet him, but I wasn't going to go like stand in line to fucking meet him. It just hasn't been me. So we were waiting at the bar and you guys are familiar with Moxie's, like downstairs, the big open bar. We were on like, if you walk in, take a right, we were like on the back left corner and we were just grabbing a drink and Mock was coming around into the bar to like pour shots for people and shit. So I saw him coming and I'm like, oh, it'd be cool if like, you know, I could say what's up to him. So he's going around shaking everyone's hand around the bar and then he makes the turn and we kind of lock eyes for a second. And I was like, what's up, Mock? How you doing? And I kind of shook his hand and he was like, what did he say? He was like, I'm a huge fan of you guys. And I'm like, oh shit. Cause I wasn't expecting that. I thought he just thought I was another fucking average fan. And which I am. And he was like, oh, I love the videos. I'm like, damn, you watch the videos? And I'm like tapping on Prajut. He's on his phone. I'm like, dude, look up. He probably just thought it was like another person. He looks up and Mock goes, where's my fucking sandwich, bro? And we just started dying laughing. And he was like, I'm really proud of you guys. I love what you do. He's like, make sure we get a picture after. I'm like, okay. So then he gives a speech. He pours shots at people. 10 minutes goes by. I'm like, he's not going to fucking remember. He's just being nice. He walks out and he's like, comes back and finds us. He's like, yo, come over here. So he brought us in the back kitchen and like literally just us, him and the camera and like the whole kitchen crew was back there. And that's when we posted that video. And he was like, these are going to be the next two stars out of Boston and just pumping our tires or whatever. And he was like, if you ever need anything, just let me know. And then a month after that event, he ended up coming back for a concepts event. And we actually got to talk to him one-on-one for like 10 minutes, like off camera and shit. But dude, when I tell you just like a wicked down-to-earth, normal-ass dude, bro, like I don't even know how else to, just genuine, cool.
I feel like that, like you never hear bad things about
him. No, and it's true. Like I don't know, like, because, you know, you hear a lot of stories about celebrities, but like he just seems like a down-to-earth family guy, bro, who's just... You know, he's made his fucking money. He's still making good money off of his businesses, but now with the movies, he's just doing like these kind of passion project movies, which are still killing it for him. I saw his last movie, Arthur the King. It was pretty good. But yeah, no, so meeting him was dope, you know, kind of building that friendship. We did a pop-up event, which was another cool experience where we were selling these hats, actually. Making these hats was like a fucking kind of a level up, too, because... We kind of built a community just off of selling this shit. We had a pop-up event in Wilmington. It was our first in-person event a little over a year ago now. And I didn't know what to expect because I'm like, I hope like people show up, you know? Like we were throwing, like we had Dave Saw Chicken Catering. We had some other vendors there and shit. And the whole thing was to come buy these hats because people wanted it. We weren't selling them online. So it's like 5:30. The event starts at 6. We're doing like our intro for the vlog. I don't see anyone outside. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to be a shit show. Like our family's there and shit. Do the intro and then take a look outside. It's like 10 minutes before and like, dude, like a line around the fucking corner. Like the cars were parked. I didn't think they were for us though because it was like a building with multiple businesses. So I figured it was just people that were working or something. So a line around the corner, probably like 60 people lined up. And then we started inviting them in and we had 100 hats. They sold out in like a half hour and got to meet a shit ton of our fans and shit. Just had a good night overall, bro. Devontae Parker pulled up, our boy on the pads. He's in Philly now, but it was just a cool experience overall. To have, like, I was trying to explain this to Mako, too, because he was, like, I was asking him the same question on my podcast, and I'm like, there's no better feeling than, like, having, like, seeing your work in person, if that makes sense. Like, what I mean by my work is, like, the followers that I've built, like, the people that I've... had support me, come out in person to see me, because like, yeah, like meeting Wahlberg's fucking sick, like, you know, taking these trips we go on, doing all this other cool shit, sitting courtside, all that shit's sick, but like, the core of everything is like the people who support us. That's what makes it happen. Like, if I didn't have the people that watched our videos and supported us, then I'd be just another fucking person doing this shit. So, to see that in person was dope. Then we did another one at the Grand, a couple months later, and that was a success as well. I wish we did it in a little smaller venue, because that the Grand holds like 600-700 people, and I think we had like a few hundred pop out, which is still sick. We sold tickets and shit, but it felt like a little more. I wish it was a little more intimate. But for the next one, we'll be a little more prepared. But I would say those are the two coolest things. Then obviously being able to travel, like we sold our merch online and seeing just where the merch is sold to. Like, we got people in Canada. We got people from every fucking state you could think of buying the merch, fucking Australia, people in Australia asking for it. So
that's
just
a good
like,
indication too. Like,
yeah. The merch is a great way earlier, to tell.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, are you, is your fans just Boston? It's like, no, it's fucking Australia, Canada, West Coast, you know,
it's everywhere, bro. That was the main indicator for me. Cause although we have been able to travel to all these places, like seeing who's actually buying your fucking merch and where it's going is like a good telling point of who's seeing your shit, you know, and actually supporting you from those areas. But I would say those are probably the few coolest things.
My Tommy, after that, so you mentioned that you have like a special connection with people who grow up like, you know, in the city. So I went to Penn State. Everybody's like, oh, where are you from? I'm from Chelmsford, but I'd always say Boston. So what's your opinion on this?
I don't want to get in trouble with people here, because I understand why you're doing it.
I'm proud to be from Boston, though, you know, so that's like, why I'm saying it. And that's, you know, I always felt it was okay, you know, growing up.
And it is okay.
And then if people say, oh, like, you know, like Boston, and it's like, where in Boston? I'm like, oh, you know, closer to Lowell.
You know, I know yeah, that. Right.
Or
right.
How well you know the area.
I think it's kind of a running joke with people that grew up in the inner city, because I don't think it's like a bad thing. Like, it's like, that's what I say. Cause people always bust my balls in person. Like, oh, I'm from this place. Like, can I say I'm from Boston? I'm like, dude, you could say you're from fucking Vermont. I don't give a fuck. But like, the thing is, like, growing up in the city is like, and that's why I said earlier, I'm like, I'm going to sound like a hardo, like, because Mark's from Dorchester and Ben's from Cambridge. Like, you know, like, Mark means more, but it's like just different going to Boston public schools and like East Boston. Like, we had to go through schools and metal detectors and shit. Like, we seen like some shit in high school. And I'm like, I didn't grow up in the hood or anything like that. I'm not trying to claim that. But like, just growing up in the city and meeting the characters from the city, like, there's something different about that. So like, I think a lot of people take it more serious than I do. And like, people who claim to be from here, it's like, oh, you're taking that away from us. Like, you didn't grow up where we grew up, or you're a fucking like privileged suburb kid or something, you know? Yeah. But like, to answer your question, dude, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I get it. Cause people in fucking Penn State aren't going to know where Chelmsford is. Yeah. You know, you got Jack Eichel. That's cool. You know, mm-hmm. Who else came from Chelmsford? Anyone else famous from Chelmsford?
Not really.
The Chelmsford Forum's pretty cool. I played there a few times.
The best rink.
I lost my last state tournament game there, but it was
that's
still
the
cool.
Best barn in the entire
state. The crowds that come out to the Chelmsford Forum is fucking insane. Like, the troop up there is sick.
For our games, like, you know, people would be in the stands like at the end of the like the you know, it's like a big U kind of, and there's stands on both sides, but then there's also a set of stands behind one of the nets.
Yeah.
So everybody would sit up there and the games
Where'd you play high school hockey?
Chelmsford.
Oh, you played at Chelmsford?
Yeah.
What division? Were you two?
Yeah.
D2?
Yeah.
We were
D1, and then we got pushed back because the enrollment got like too small at our school.
You guys make any runs?
No, never.
No. Yeah, I didn't mean to go off on hockey talk there. Yeah. I just like, it's funny because like, I know all these random ass towns just from playing hockey. I'm sure you can relate. Like, you grew up playing hockey. Like, you played in all these random tournaments and shit, 6 a.m. games and random places and shit.
That's like the stereotypical, like, it's funny because you say like, oh, you're from Boston, and then you get into the hockey. Like,
yeah.
That's just like the map of that conversation. 9 times out of 10,
dude,
it's just like,
I swear to
you're
God.
From Boston, then you talk about hockey.
So my sister's wife, she's from Miami originally, but she moved up here. She's like Jewish, whatever. But it's funny because when she came into like my family, like when you're sitting in my nana's first floor. So the way my house set up is my nana's on the first floor. That's kind of where everyone comes for like Sunday dinners and shit like that. And then me and my parents are on the second floor, and then the third floor was always like a family friend, or like my brother was on there for a while. But dude, sitting in my grandmother's first floor, like for a Sunday dinner or Thanksgiving or whatever it is, like my, like people say it all the time, even my girlfriend's parents who are from Hingham, they came and they're blue collar people too, but they even said it too. It's like, dude, they like feel like they're in an episode of The Sopranos, like, which I don't think it's that extreme at all, but like, it's funny when the outside people come in that aren't like Italian or like don't have the same values and like the same upbringing that come into that. And it's like, dude, I feel like I'm in like a legit a TV show right now with all this shit going on. I just grew up around a bunch of chaos, bro. Like my brother, my dad has three brothers, and my dad was a post carrier. Two of the brothers were painters, and then the other one was just, I don't even know what he did. He was bouncing around a bunch of different jobs, but they were all just like characters in their own way. And then obviously there was some, like, you know, there was some stealing and shit that were going at the house, because some of them were on and off drugs and shit. Not my dad or his other brother, but two of the brothers were on and off drugs and shit. So there was always chaos. But it's funny because, like, when seeing that growing up, it's like, yeah, it's kind of, some of it's like a little trauma, but it's like you kind of become numb to like the crazy shit that they say. Like, my grandmother will be in a conversation with my mom, and like, we'll be talking about like, oh, how was your day today? Like, go to the gym and shit. It's like, oh yeah, you know, Kathy next door, her daughter got hit by a car. She's dead. And then it's like, all right, on to the next thing. Yeah, what's for dinner tonight? It's like shit like that I wouldn't notice because, like, you know, but like the communication skills are like not there at all. I don't know if you guys can relate to that.
I know what you mean. That's fucking crazy.
You know? But even like what you said, it's like such a Massachusetts or Boston thing. Like, I'll be talking to someone like, oh, where are you from? Oh, you know Jimmy? No, Jimmy Corposalo, not Jimmy Giardina, you know, the other one. So,
it's always,
and it's like, oh, no, yeah, my cousin played hockey with him. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it is funny because going around to other places too and going on other podcasts and shit, it's like they always say, that's they get surprised when they come to Boston and they hear people do the stereotypical shit, but it's like, it's true. It's like, yeah, how it is.
Everybody just knows each other, I think.
You know what another thing too that came back to me now that we're talking about the Boston stuff? Because you said like what I got a lot of hate for. People would, number one, they'd say I wasn't from Boston, which the pissed accent, me right? off. Being from East Boston obviously pissed me off. And then they would say like you're forcing your accent and shit. I'm like, dude, like I don't even like feel like I have one that much. Like, I mean, I'm sure I do. Like, my family has stronger ones than me, but obviously for the videos and shit, doing skits, like, you do exaggerate it a little bit for, like, the comedy part of it, but that was something else that pissed me off. People would always say, like, I'm faking my accent. I'm like, no, I'm just...
I feel like that would be so tiring.
Yeah, that would be tiring, and it's like, do I want to sound like I'm a fucking moron? Like, no, I'd rather talk normal, but I can't, really. I have, like, that little dialect I can't get rid of. But
what does your like extended family, aunts, uncles, you know, your grandma, like they think of like everything now in this?
Yeah, it's a good question. Now, I mean, everyone's happy. Everyone's always been happy for me and my family. There was always like, especially in the beginning and even now still, like skepticism and like just a little bit of like, you know, what do? Like, how do you make money, you know? And explaining that is like writing a fucking 5-paragraph essay, because like they just, it's so hard to explain it to like people that just aren't going to get it. You know what I mean? So there's always like an aspect of that. But when I say, bro, like I had great support from my family, you know, like there's obviously some ball busting and shit, like, oh, here's TikTok, here's this one, but never to an extent of like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it was always like, oh, just do what makes you happy. And, I think it's still like that. Obviously, like even for me, bro, I'm just trying to live one day at a time, one week at a time, one month at a time, plan ahead a little bit as much as I can. But, you know, this industry is still so new, bro. It's like, we're still all trying to figure out, like, how is this going to work long term, you know? So that's why, you know, we're starting to develop, you know, the media company for some long term income, and then try to, like, develop some sort of live entertainment eventually. So stuff like that, bro. But I think whenever they ask me about it or check in, it's like, I just kind of tell them what I have going on, and they're always happy to hear it. So I think it's just cool because they, you know, everyone does the same kind of thing, the union or the college or whatever. But like now they kind of have me and their family that's like doing something a little different. That's cool, you know? Like, they're like, how do these people know who you are? Like, they still don't understand, like, it's everywhere, you know? So it's always cool to talk to them about that.
Nice.
Yeah. But I mean, besides that, it's really just like explaining, like, probably like one of the worst things too is like trying to explain like how I make money to people. Like, I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys, but you don't just like go up to a person and like be like, how much do you make? Like, it's not a normal thing. So like, it happens to me like all the time. Like, people will be like,
think that like they can just ask like a content creator that, like an influencer.
And I guess like, and it's, I'll give them leeway because it is so new and people just are genuinely curious, and that's fine. But I'm still like, I would never just walk up to someone and be like, hey,
you don't got some PWC intern.
You making any scratch? Like, how much you making? It's like, yeah.
I feel like it's always like a lost like college kid. Like yeah, a dude that's yeah. like a sophomore
that
junior
or
in college.
Like blue collar guys, like union guys, older people.
Yeah.
Because they just have no filter anyway.
Yeah.
But it's always funny because I'll get like, oh, do you do a full time? Like, yeah. Like, how much you make? I'm just like, oh, I make a full time income. I'll never tell them. Like,
yeah, it's just like you. Like, I'm comfortable.
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm doing all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's just that's like kind of an annoying part. But like, again, you kind of have to grant a little leeway there because it is so new. But I don't know.
Talk about the media company that you're building now mm-hmm. and like anything, you know, plans for the future, kind of what's next for you, Tommy?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're building up. It's content right now is our media company. Kind of developed the idea like late 2022, early 23. And we really started like consistently hammering it probably like in fall of 23 because we came up with the idea in like early 2023 and we were like, all right, we need to build something like longer term, something for the long term. Because like you can't just rely on brand deals for the rest of your life, you know? So we're like, why don't we build an umbrella for like tons of media, you know, like we should be the main talent, myself, Prosciutto Papi, any other creators we want to bring into this and build different types of content, like a podcast, build up our YouTube, do different kinds of like skits. We want to do like a skit show, which is like the deli. We wanted to do like a man on the street show. We wanted to potentially do like a prank style show and do those kind of like different types of shows on YouTube, make it like a TV network almost. And then we want to do merch as well. So those are like kind of the first three pillars and then obviously monetize each of those and kind of build up the community behind its content. So we've been successful with it. We're still opening up its content right now as an official business, which has been a headache just because different like, Prosciutto was getting out of a contract with something. It was just like a ton of shit going on, but we're about to be in the final stages of that. So we built up our YouTube to almost 200,000 subscribers, which has been dope. And it was really just hammering the YouTube consistently around like August 23. And we were just putting out one a week and we were hammering shorts two times a day. But the thing that helped us was all of summer 2023 was building the deli content because we were still trying to like figure out how to approach the YouTube. But at the same time we were filming like twice a month, like for a few hours. So we were building up all these clips and shit. So when it was time to roll out everything, we had all this content bank. So we were just rolling out two shorts a day. And then eventually, bro, it just hit the algorithm. The deli videos, the long form videos started doing pretty good. And yeah, we just started hammering that. We've been doing one podcast a week. We haven't really like zoned in on that yet just because we're still figuring out, how we want to go about like structuring the podcast. Not that I don't think it's unstructured. I just think it needs a little bit of work all around. And then the merch was great too. We sold online from like this, I think we put it online in like November and then we took it off recently cause we're switching merch companies, but we did really good on that as well. So I think right now it's kind of the beginning stages of building the company. But hopefully this next year we can have the full business set up and really start making revenue every month through it. It's a little like unorganized right now. And then another aspect we're working on too is some live entertainment. So, with that, we're going to start by doing like this different show. I don't know if I told you guys about it, but you guys know how like Drewski does his show.
Yeah.
Could have been the fucking auditions or whatever. So we want to do something, similar to that. And I know people are going to probably be like, oh, you're copying him. And I'm like, number one, Drewski's not worried about us. He's in a whole different bracket. But number two, bro, when you look at anything on social media, for the most part, it's something someone saw and just put their own spin on. So that's what I feel like we're doing with this. So we want to do a talent show in the deli with me and Prosciutto as the judges. We want to put our own little spin on it with like giving the people a sandwich or something. I don't know. We haven't thought about it. But long story short, we're going to do a tournament style. We'll do one episode for auditions. We'll have like probably 20, 30, maybe 40 people show up to the deli, audition their talent. We'll fucking film everything. And then we'll do like a bracket style. We'll do like a quarterfinals, semifinals, finals, then figure out kind of how we want to award the person. But I think eventually we want to build that, kind of get some hype around it and keep doing it. Like, as much as possible, and then hopefully build up you know, enough of a following and a community around that to turn something like that live and bring people live on stage and do shit like that. Kind of like Drewski does, but I always envision doing something live, like not like a traditional stand-up comedy, just because I'm not, that's just not me. I wouldn't want to do that, but like a duo thing, like with me and Prosciutto Poppy. So I think that's a good kind of transition into it, something like that. And then maybe mixing that with like a live pod, or I even saw my guys Sushi Mango from Australia, they're comedians, three person team, and they do live skits on stage, which is kind of nuts. It's kind of like a play, but it's like 20 minute skits on stage, all scripted, everything. So that's cool too, to do like kind of like an SNL kind of thing maybe.
Yep.
So just trying to figure out that shit because, you know, like I said, you got to figure out something for the long term too. So that's really what we've been putting our focus in on.
Where did the deli like come out? Like when was the first like time you guys like came up
with that idea? It's funny. So really about a year ago, we did the deli for the first time. So it's content. Like I said, we were trying to figure out different types of shows to do on YouTube. Right now we're just focused on the skits, but we were doing like Man on the Street, we were doing skits, we were doing this prank style show. So for the skits, we were just doing different sketch comedy, like little sets. So we were doing like, we did like an Uber one, we did like we did one in a restaurant. So then we were like, why don't we do one in a deli? And we knew the guys that owned the deli, knew Dale Fruit and Rivera, go check them out. Prosciutto's brother knew them personally, and they were like, yeah, come in and shoot an episode, whatever. So we shot an episode. Didn't really think too much of it. I thought it would do well. I knew it would do well, just I didn't think it'd pop that much. So we started posting the clips, and each clip was just kind of blowing up, and I'm like, oh, fuck, like, let's go back in. So they're like, I was like, oh, can we come back in next week? And they're like, yeah, come in. But the craziest part that people don't know is, like, now we film when they close. We film, like, from when they close, like, 8 o'clock to, like, 11 or midnight. But in the beginning, we were filming while they were open, dude. So we'd go in at 7:30. These fucking poor people are just opening up. They're so miserable. They're like getting ready to work. And we're going in with a camera and shit. And we would do our skits, but there'd be people in there in the background, which honestly kind of made it better. Because it was like, you know, like you had the real reactions in the background. People like, what the fuck? We actually had a guy walk up one time. We just did a fucking thing with him. And like, he had no clue. Just like fucked with him. But yeah, that's how the deli started. And then bro, it just kind of became a snowball effect and kept it going. And then we had some ones really blow up. Like we had the ones with the New York twins, Nikki and JoJo, really blow up. And dude, like that's kind of, dude, The Rock follows me, which is fucking crazy. Like that, I forget about that. Like literally he sent me a voice note, like 45 second voice note. He wished me happy new year. I'm just like, what is life? Like it's just like, so The Rock saw the one with Nikki and JoJo. So I'm like, we just kind of kept doing these collabs and shit. And I feel like that's opened up a lot for collabs too, like with the New York guys, and we did something with Millie's, who's like a pretty big rapper from around here.
Happy New Year from The Rock.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I don't know. It's just I figured I was at Prosciutto's house and I'm like, I seen his story. He followed me, but like obviously, dude, he's like one of the most followed dudes on the internet. So I don't really hit him up a lot. But like he'll like my shit here and there, and I was just like, I seen his story. He posted it. I'm like, oh, I'll swipe up and wish him a happy new year. And then he wished me a happy new year back. And he's like, I hope you have a great year and all this shit. I'm like, damn, bro. It's just like, what the fuck is life? But wild. Yeah, man, it's opened up a ton of doors, bro. And I'm just really excited to see where the future goes, because a lot of people ask, like, you know, I had someone ask me, like, what's your 5-year plan? I'm like, dude, I don't have a 5-year plan. It's hard to kind of develop that, bro, because like it can go in multiple directions. Like the deli can take off. Like another thing we're working on too is on the side right now, we're writing up the deli as a TV show. So I want to shoot a pilot for that and like actually pitch it around. We had a couple production companies in LA reach out to us. And then we have the connection to obviously like a ton of people in that space. We have fucking Wahlberg. Like we have all these people that have all these connections. Like you never know if something like that could pick up, or the live entertainment or the merch. Like, I don't know. So it's really just
diversification.
You know, yeah. Just doing a bunch of different shit. The only thing with that is that you have to make sure you put your focus into each thing 100%, which gets a little hard when you're doing too much.
But each thing is like still you and like organic. Yeah. And it's naturally who you and Prosciutto like are.
Yeah,
you
know? I agree. I think we do a good job at, you know, divvying up the work and putting our full effort into it. But yeah, man, I'm just excited to see where the future goes. You know, we'll see.
We're excited too.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Appreciate you guys having me on. And, thanks for
finally coming.
I'm glad we finally got to see the Nickel Up studio.
That's right. We're in the massive 8,000 square foot.
I'm looking at a fucking hot tub and pool behind the camera here. I'm about to go jump in. couple of fucking Victoria's Secret models. Yeah, a couple. You know. Yeah, but now for real, guys, thanks for having me on. I had a blast, and the pocket wasn't as bad as I thought. That was gonna be a shit show.
You got street parking, you know. Lucky yeah. Guy.